Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is a Friday. We are live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, right here on FS1. 1 hour from now, my blazing five picks. I love them all. Going to go 5-0 again. In fact, I'm giving you an extra one today. I like it so much. It's a blazing six.
It is bonus pick?
Yeah, bonus pick. I did this twice last year. I think I won them both times. Bonus pick today. I love the lines. Love them. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm good. I'm curious because I feel very strongly about that Cowboys game, and I think we're on the other side of it.
I love Dallas. Love them.
I do too, but 4.5 to Carolina Panthers. 12-5, Colin.
Very, 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 very good defense. So I want to do a little, I don't want to tell a story here for a couple minutes. Be patient with me. I'm going to tell a story. So about 30 years ago, I am driving in the desert between Los Angeles and Vegas. And there's a town called Baker, California. It's known for having this gigantic temperature because it gets to be 120 degrees. It's by like Death Valley. It's one of the hottest places in America. And there's a restaurant. There's a few restaurants, but there's no real homes, four or five homes. And so I go to get some food, and there was a restaurant with some picnic tables, and it was connected to like a home. Obviously, the people lived in the back and the restaurant in the front. And as I'm sitting there by myself driving from, I don't even know if I was going Vegas to L.A. or L.A. to Vegas, there was a little girl playing in the sand behind the house or outside the house and by herself in the sand. And it was like 100. And I remember thinking, it really stuck with me. I was kind of overwhelmed at the time thinking, man, that girl doesn't have a chance. Like, my life wasn't perfect, but, you know, my dad was a doctor. He was smart. My mom was an honor student. And I went through a bunch of divorces, but that's pretty good DNA. I got pretty lucky, right? And I had a good supportive sister and lived in a nice house. Good high school football, basketball coaches, very supportive, good friends. And I looked at that little girl and I thought to myself, no matter how great she is, boy, what a ceiling that is. She's got no friends, middle of nowhere. And I wrote about this in one of the books I wrote. I think it was the first that it just stuck with me that, you know, I have empathy for people who just don't get a fair start. And I watched Joe Burrow last night. And I mean, the Bengals and the Jags are not good teams. It's almost, you look at the stats this morning, first downs, third down efficiency, total plays, turnovers, possession. It's just two totally average teams. And the difference was Joe Burrow. He's really good. He's really good. I don't want to be hyperbolic, but boy, he's got some Joe Montana. He's just smooth and throws the ball so, it's so pretty and so accurate. He's got such control. He can audible. And I thought to myself, it's not a coincidence. The two greatest winningest quarterbacks in my life are Joe Montana. He had Bill Walsh and Tom Brady. He had Bill Belichick. The Bengals don't even have a general manager. Their 86-year-old owner, Mike Brown's one of the big meddlers in the league. They don't have a GM. They're cheap. They don't make any trades on draft day. He's going to have to absolutely overcome this franchise. And I watched it and I thought, oh, God, he's good. What traits he has. You know, and it's almost perfect. He's got a good arm, but it's not too good, like Favre, so he becomes reliant on it. And isn't as coachable. He can move, but he's not too fast like Michael Vick, who would admit he didn't work hard in his game initially because he could always escape. He has just enough of an arm and just enough athletic ability. Oh, he's so good. He's so good. I mean, I thought he was going to be Tony Romo. He's better. He may be a lot better. But I sat there and I thought, you know, we're all worried about Trevor Lawrence. They got a really rich owner who's going to spend a lot of money. I don't worry about Trevor Lawrence, whether it's Urban or somebody else. But I sat there and I watched Joe Burrow. He's already had one severe injury. Why? They couldn't protect him. And I sit there and I just think to myself, it is not a coincidence that the GOAT, the first GOAT, was Montana with the best offensive coach ever. And the second GOAT to replace him The better GOAT was Brady with the best defensive coach. Those are the two best coaches ever. And you just watch Burrow and his temperament and his ball placement and his accuracy and his mobility. Man, maybe I'm just gushing over him because I have a DM relationship with him. But I'm telling you, man, that guy, he is so smooth. And I hope they hire eventually a GM. I hope Zach Taylor's good. I mean, he's clearly not Sean McVay dynamic, but he's not Freddie Kitchens overwhelmed. But I just sat there and thought, oh, please give this kid support. Please give him a shot. Here's Joe Burrow after.
Yeah, there was no panic in the locker room. We knew we didn't play great in the first half. You know, it is what it is, but, you know, we had all the faith in the world that we were going to come out and play really well in the second half. And, you know, we've been a second-half team. We're going to have to get that fixed. We're going to have to play better in the first half on offense. But, you know, I'm proud of the way we fought back.
Where you land in life and sports is about 75% of the equation. Bad parents, hard to overcome. Middle of nowhere, hard to overcome. Crazy parents, hard to overcome. No general manager, hard to overcome. All right, so Belichick Brady this weekend. In the Seth Wickersham book, and I've read all the books, the Ian O'Connor book was great, Jeff Benedict book was great in the Dynasty. There's one thing in the book that is getting overplayed totally and one thing that's getting underplayed totally. I'll get to the underplayed thing later. The one part of the book that's being overplayed, and Belichick touched on it briefly yesterday, is this idea that Brady tried to meet with Belichick to tell him he was leaving, and instead they just had a phone call. Who cares? If somebody's going to dump me, I should have the choice how I receive it. Text, Instagram, in person. You're dumping me anyway. What does it matter? First of all, it's quite possible on March 17th, that was the day Brady made the official decision, that Bill Belichick wasn't in New England anyway. That's off season. Belichick scoots down to Florida every February and March, and a little bit maybe to golf in July. But it doesn't really matter. Tom Brady was leaving. If you read the book, he made a decision after his last contract with New England. In fact, Seth Wickersham was on FS1 this morning, and Brady really made the decision long before that potential in-person meeting with Belichick. Here's Seth Wickersham.
It definitely hovered over the team and Bill and Brady in August of 2019 when they were trying to negotiate a contract, and Brady considered leaving training camp in protest because he was so frustrated over how things were going. And anyone who thought that Tom Brady might remain a New England Patriot and retire a New England Patriot, you know, had those hopes severely tampered on when he and Giselle announced that they were putting their house up for sale, I think 48 hours after that contract was announced. And he said publicly he knew right then that this was going to be his last year in New England.
Listen, here's a general rule in life. When somebody calls you and says, we need to talk, what doesn't follow is another 30 years of marriage or a 7-year contract extension. Okay? You're getting dumped. And however you want to receive it, you can. And let's be honest about this. Name all the rock and roll bands that have lasted over 25 years. The Stones and U2. That's about it. Metallica did a documentary, and it's riveting, on how much they hated each other. Ever watch VH1 Behind the Music? Not a lot of harmony with rock bands. It's hard. I mean, good God, forget dynasties. Teams that aren't even good have friction. I mean, the Philadelphia 76ers have had 5 years of friction. They're not good. The Brooklyn Nets, they're on the second year with all these stars. They've already got friction. Half the NFL's got friction, and they stink. Can you imagine being great and not having friction? You know, they always say, like, you know, thinking you're right instead of being right is part of the problem. Because when you start getting caught up in thinking you're always right, that's the opposite of growth. Like, being vulnerable, being curious is how you keep being right. Once you start thinking you're always right, it ends being right. Right? And so what happens is you make more money. Some of it's luck, some of it's serendipity, some of it's timing. But you start thinking you're brilliant because you're getting richer and you're winning a lot of games and people write articles and then you read them and we're all human beings, right? We all like the pat in the back. When you get them for 20 years, you start thinking, I'm right. You start wanting to be right. And that's the end of getting it right for most people. So, like, you know, let's not get too ethereal here, but like, this stuff's hard. And it's really hard when everybody's simultaneously becoming a legend and getting rich. Friction is just part of life, especially when you get great and stay great for a long time.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Sometimes it's amazing on social media how much less successful people have all the answers over much more successful people. And listen, I don't know if Urban Meyer's going to make it here, but folks, he's the second best college coach in the history of the sport. He's really smart. I know Urban really well. He's really smart. I've watched the Jaguars play four times. Now, I've really watched them closely play twice, and they're getting better. And they're not really good, but they're getting better. Brian Flores is somebody who I think is terrific. Go back to Brian Flores' rookie year as a coach with Miami. He opened up with four blowout losses, 59-10. Look at these scores, 43-0, 31-6, 30-10. Then he transitioned into close losses, only losing by two touchdowns. And then in November, he finally won. He beat a lousy Jets team narrowly. Folks, Jacksonville has to gamble a lot defensively. Why? Because they can't get any pressure just rushing three and four guys. Their special teams are average. Why? The roster's incredibly thin, especially on the back half of it. Trevor Lawrence, he's just trying to figure out this league. Now, my question for Urban Meyer, and Urban was always seen, this is well documented, he didn't even know if he ever wanted to coach in the NFL a year ago, that he was seen as a 100% college guy. So there's a lot of skepticism inside the NFL with Urban Meyer. He had no NFL connections outside of close relationships with, like, Belichick. But he had no coaching experience. Most guys like Coughlin, you know, they'd been in the league. Matt Rule, Carolina, had been in the league. He was an outsider. And so between the Jags losing culture and the Jags being cheap and Urban being a 100% college guy, I don't think he got the best people in the league to apply for his jobs. I think his staff is very, very average. Do not love his offensive staff. And that could very well be his undoing. The owner of the Jags may have to pay two times the going rate for a coordinator, maybe $1.5 million for a coordinator, $2 million to get the right guy. But, you know, this stuff is hard. Kyle Shanahan can't win in this league without Jimmy Garoppolo, and none of you even like Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback. Stuff is hard. Vic Fangio is one of the best defensive minds in the sport. He could be number two behind Belichick. He's finally winning now because he has a grown-up as a quarterback. Stuff is hard. This is a lousy franchise that has a losing culture, bad facilities. Stars don't want to play there. Everybody's beaten up. Oh, I can't believe they drafted a running back. Really? Pete Carroll's got five decent ones on his roster. You need more than one in this league. Christian McCaffrey's hurt already. He's hurt already. I mean, it would have been great if he had, if they had another star running back. Chuba Hubbard's good. He's not great. So I don't know. It may not work. But I mean, sometimes, folks, it's Urban Meyer will be able to change the roster. That's not the question. He just came out of college football. He knows these college players better than every single one of these NFL coaches. It's very much Pete Carroll at the beginning in Seattle. He created that Legion of Boom defense with a bunch of fourth, fifth, and sixth round picks. He just knew college personnel better. No question, Urban knows the college personnel better than Belichick, who swings and misses all the time in the draft. The question is the culture. The LA Clippers literally had to have their owner removed by the league to change the culture. They had 100 coaches, great players, all-stars. You had to get rid of the owner. They couldn't change the culture. So this is it's hard to change cultures. It's easy to change rosters. Urban's going to get good players. I liked their draft last year. Even the first-round pick, I'm fine with it, all right? He knows talent. He knows football. But the undoing may be if he really struggles in year one and they don't win many games, and I think they will, is that NFL, top NFL people won't even apply. Now, here was Urban after last night's game.
I was devastated, heartbreaking. You know, all these guys, usually I'm not wrong about stuff like that, that I just see a good team in there. I see good guys. I see good hearts. I see guys at work. And I told them I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong about that stuff. And this team's going to win some games.
Well, you're wrong that they're a good team. They're not a good team. They beat all your Ohio State teams and beat your Florida teams and your Utah and Bowling Green teams. It's not a great NFL team, although you have some very nice wide receivers and a potential star at quarterback. But it's hard, man. Brian Flores, go look back. How's Belichick doing? If he loses this weekend, he's 8-12. The greatest football coach ever without Tom Brady.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
The all-time leader in tackles in the Dallas Cowboys history is Darren Woodson, a safety. I don't know. That doesn't speak well to the defensive line. How do all those guys get through? He was a three-time Super Bowl champ, five-time Pro Bowler, host of the Darren Woodson Show, a podcast with Tyler Cutts and Ben Gibbs. He's joining us live. Haven't talked to Darren Woodson in a long time. So how are you, my friend? How are things going for you? Sound like you're going well.
Great, man. I can't ask for anything more, man. It's so good to hear from you, man. I haven't seen you or talked to you in a long time, man. So good seeing my brother again.
Yeah, you look fantastic. And by the way, I said something the other day, and I noticed it after week one. I said, Dallas's defense is faster. Like, I don't know all the analytics, but first of all, they found an elite corner, and they just run better. And last year, I'm watching, some of it was scheme, that OBJ did a reverse, and it was like, they're just not athletic. I watched them, Darren. They look fast, and you've watched every snap. What do you make? I think their defense, I don't think we quite get yet around the league. Like, we're watching Darren. Yeah. I think the defense is better than we think.
Look, I'm watching a young group, extremely young group. When you talk about Micah Parsons, who's their first-round pick this year, is playing at a level that's unbelievable. He's a linebacker. He came in for DeMarcus Lawrence when DeMarcus Lawrence went down before the Chargers game and had a great game. You're seeing Trayvon Diggs do a great job at the cornerback position. They're athletic and they believe in themselves. Like, this is, I watched the Cowboys defense over the years, and just like you, Colin, you're always like, that's the weakest link of this football team. That's no longer the case. These kids are hungry. Their young players are stepping up, making plays, not only on the defensive side of the ball, but also on the special teams. But not only are they playing great defense, they're turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And that's been a problem for this organization for a long time. And that's the level where they are. And they're starting to believe in themselves week in and week out. I really like what I'm seeing thus far.
You know, Dak Prescott's been interesting. I said in basketball and soccer, you can see greatness at 12 years old, because in basketball, I could walk by a playground, your vertical, your ball skills, and I could say, well, that's a great player. You can't block yourself in a park. You can't throw the ball and catch it in a park. So with football, so much of it is, how do you fit? What is your coaching? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great players. I mean, I work with you at ESPN. Teddy Bruschi was a great player, but if you walk by Teddy Bruschi, you didn't look at him and go, that's one of the greatest defensive players ever. Right? Like, there's so many components to it. And so with Dak in football, I do believe you can grow into greatness.
Yes.
Brady, and I look at Dak, and I've got to be honest with watching Dak this year, whether it's confidence, whether it's the second year, but he does look better today than he did a year and a half ago. That's what my eyes tell me. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are this. Look, for years, since Dak's come in the league, this team was Zeke's offense. It was basically centered around Ezekiel Elliott, the running game, and they tried to bludgeon you with a running game to set up the passing game. That's all over with. It's now Dak's offense. And it's Dak's team, period. And they're going to rely on his arm and his decision-making to get the wins moving forward. And I look at it as, when I look at Dak week in and week out, you're starting to see him grow. You're starting to take on the onus. It's not about Zeke. It's not about that running game. And he has weapons on the outside, Colin. He has Amari Cooper, where a lot of people take shots at. Amari Cooper's still a dynamic route runner. CeeDee Lamb, the young kid, who's a dog on the outside. You got Schultz stepping up the tight end position. You got so many weapons at your – Tony Pollard coming in to relieve Zeke. They have so many weapons and on the perimeter that can hurt you, and Dak is taking on the onus. Like, this is – he understands. This is my team now. You know, I love Zeke, best friend, but we're going to win or die. We're going to win or lose by the way I play the game. And I think the team as a whole has accepted that. And this is his second year in Mike McCarthy's offense, and you're starting to see him grow, make decisions at the line of scrimmage, and make plays down the field with his arm.
So I was saying last night with Joe Burrow, and I, you know, when he came out, I my comp was, I said, he reminds me a little of Tony Romo. He moves well. He's got a good arm, not great. He's got a little bit of a little confidence with him. He's going to win a lot of games. And I defended, as you know, I think we both defended Tony Romo for 8 years.
Oh, yeah, ever, yeah. Yeah. I was his defense attorney for the longest, yes.
Yeah. And I watched Burrow, and I said, you know what I really am worried about? The Bengals. He's already been hurt once. Yeah. They don't have a real GM. I don't know if Zach's good, the coach. He could be. He's not Freddie Kitchens bad, but he's not Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, Darren, when I watch Burrow, man, there's a lot there. Like, what do you – I just look at him and I think that kid could do anything as long as he gets a great coach. What do you see?
Yeah. Look, I think he's mature beyond his years. The kid gets it. Like, you always talk about professionals, they just get it. Not only on the field, but off the field. You know, he says the right things. He carries himself the right way. He's a true leader, similar to a lot of ways that Dak carries himself. But there's an extreme confidence with this kid. And I think Joe Burrow is one of those guys that, somewhat like Brady, he never feels like he's out of it. He always feels like he has a chance. And he's forever optimistic with the guys that are in front of him. He's going to uplift and make his team better. And I'm not saying that about all the quarterbacks around this league. I've seen veteran quarterbacks. It's doom and gloom. Things start to go wrong. The body language changes. You never see that with Joe Burrow. It's always on a positive side. Hey, we'll get better. And there's a part of an extreme ownership part that plays in to Joe Burrow. He's not afraid to say, it's all me. I made the mistake. I did this wrong. And he's a firm believer in the guys around him. I think he's going to uplift this team, this talent around him. You're right, though. It's up to the coaching staff, the ownership, to surround him with the right people around him for him to expect greatness.
So you won 3 Super Bowls, and I want to talk about the year after the Super Bowls because and you had Jimmy Johnson and Brady had Belichick, and I'm watching Tampa, so they're off a Super Bowl, and it's a losing culture. And then Tom takes a losing culture, makes it a winning culture. I don't worry about the offense stepping back because Tom's going to drive that. But the defense is not playing the same level. And everybody got paid. And everybody's got a car dealership that's paying them in town. And they're going to write a book. And I do watch Tampa's defense, Darren. Mm-hmm. And they're playing like they just won a Super Bowl. And it's easy when you're in, you know, you're in Dallas and suddenly everybody knows Darren Woodson. Yeah. Did you feel after championships, sometimes it's the curse of winning. Could you kind of sense it the year after?
Absolutely. You start to be a fat cat, and that's what you're getting to. Yeah, you're a fat cat, you've had some success, and now I've made it. And there's so many more distractions that come involved. Yeah, Michael Irvin always had the distractions, Emmitt Smith and the Troy Aikmans, but now you're getting the guys on the peripheral, on the defensive side of the ball, the special teamers who are out, have their own radio shows and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lack of focus that does happen after the Super Bowl, because that's that Super Bowl hangover. I still believe in this defense, though. I still think that this defense is, talent-wise, one of the better defenses in the league. They can stop you in the running game. They're dynamic with the pass rush. They've had some injuries. Pierre's not out, hasn't been out there. They've had some situations. They went on a road to an L.A. Rams team, which is a very good football team, and they gave up some points. I still believe in this team. I still think this is the front runner to win the Super Bowl all over again. And I think the defense will step up as the season goes on and we start having all these critics and we start having people throw bullets at them. They're going to step up and make some plays and they'll be right back in the mix.
Yeah, JPP, by the way, is not just a small subtraction. He is a great, great football player. The Darren Woodson Show. Multiple Pro Bowler, semifinalist, Hall of Famer, 3 rings. Great seeing you, man. You look fantastic. I'm happy for your success.
Man, appreciate you, man. Call me up sometimes, Colin.
All right.
Come back on.
All right. Darren Woodson.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So, you know, it's always easier to support popular things. Oh, I love this popular band. I love Game of Thrones. You get very little pushback because everybody likes it. You see it a lot on social media. People just join the avalanche. Nobody wants to get yelled at or screamed at. But nobody will say, you know, I kind of like Nickelback. But they've sold 50 million albums. That's like twice the population of Canada. Like, they've sold 50 million albums. And now this morning, we can't play music. We have to pay a lot for it. We can't play it on television.
Would you like me to sing it?
Well, you can say you want to sing it. You have a good voice. And they all sound the exact same, kind of. And that's the knock on them. It's just, you have 9 songs, they all sound the same. Which, by the way, I think U2, I can tell U2 within 2 beats, you can too. You know, Beatles are the exception where they could do everything, they all sound and just amazing band. But I'm not here to talk about Nickelback, but it is easy to support a good football team. It is hard to go out and say, this team's bad, this team's not winning, I'm going to support them. So right now we have 5 winless teams in the NFL. The Jets, the Colts, the Jags, the Lions, and the New York Giants. And I'm here to say the New York Giants are not a bad football team, and they're going to win this weekend. And they have led every game this year that they've lost. Daniel Jones, by the way, has a 90-plus passer rating in every game he's played, and he has not thrown an interception all year. Jason Garrett, again, another guy that everybody loves to rip, has coached the turnovers out of him. He's not turning the ball over anymore. This is a head coach in a quarterback league. We all know that. Nobody would argue with me. When I look at Joe Judge and this team, they play hard. Go look at the schedule. Let's go back to his rookie year. They got roasted one time. They got roasted by the 49ers. When the 49ers, by the way, were healthy and could roast people. Folks, they're in every game. They lost close. I watched every snap against the Rams at SoFi. They lost close to the Rams. They lost close to Tampa Bay. They beat playoff Washington. They beat playoff Seattle. They were competitive at Baltimore. They beat the Cowboys, who've got some talent. Like, they don't get blown out under Joe Judge. It's not a terrible team. It is a team with a bad offensive line that is, because of that, the quarterback is usually on the move. It's hard to sit in the pocket. You don't get a lot of big plays with the offense because you don't have 5 seconds as a quarterback to sit back there and let your receivers go deep. But you know that Joe Judge communicates well. How? Because he went and interviewed in his 30s as a special teams coordinator. Was a long shot for the job and got it. There was a Sean McVay thing to it. Sean McVay interviewed for the Rams. Les Snead told me he was so good after 10 minutes, they're like, we can't let him out of the building. He's going to get a job. We have to hire him. So you know Joe Judge communicates well. He literally blew the Giants away. You didn't even know who Joe Judge was when he got hired. You were like, what? That's when you sat down in a room with an owner, with multiple executives, with the general manager, and they're all like, we got to hire this guy or he's going to get hired by somebody else. You also have a division, which, let's be honest, the Cowboys, most of you don't like the coach Mike McCarthy. Eagles appear to be the disaster everybody thought they were. Washington, well, the best part of their team is that fearsome foursome up front. They're not playing well. This division is just completely up for grabs. So nobody wants to say it, but they face a New Orleans team this weekend. They don't know what they are. Crushed the Packers, rolled by the Panthers. You don't know what they are. I mean, last week they were outgained by Mac Jones and the Patriots. So I am here to say when I watch, I don't even see coaches I like. Brian Flores got rolled coming out of the gate. Giants aren't getting rolled. They've been rolled one time with Joe Judge, and that was a San Francisco team, which was great, and then they fell apart physically by October. But they roll a lot of people. They blow up a lot of people. They outplayed Mahomes in Kansas City in the Super Bowl for 3 quarters. Patrick Mahomes was running for his life. So I think the Giants are a really good football team. But again, it's easy to put your arms around and go, oh, Rams are great. You know, and you're not going to get any pushback on that. Mahomes is going to win a bunch of football games. You're not going to get any pushback on that. You get pushback when you support Nickelback. And maybe that's just what the Giants are, Nickelback. Good. We're not going to classify them as the Beatles. We're not going to classify them as the Chiefs and the Bucks or the Rams. But they can sell some albums. They can win a lot of football games. So it's not the Jets.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Fire. Panthers and Cowboys.
I'm on the opposite side of the wise guys. I like Dallas -4.5. They're a Tom Brady game-winning drive from being perfect. They outplayed the Buccaneers. The Cowboys are doing something that almost always wins. They're +5 in turnover differential, best in the league. They're taking it away, and they're not giving it back. And Dak Prescott's last six home starts, 117 passer rating. But here's the story. Sam Darnold has been two quarterbacks this year. First half and second half. When it's on script with Matt Rhule, he's great. Second half, he is literally half the quarterback. Left to his own devices, they get more conservative. His completion percentage plummets. His passer rating plummets. His yards plummet. Christian McCaffrey's out. They're on the road. I think Dallas wins and covers. They have not trailed in a game. Without McCaffrey, they will be. That will leave this team to more Sam Darnold ad-libbing against the Dallas defense, which the market hasn't caught up to. It's better than people think.
Colts and Dolphins.
I like Miami -2. You may even get a better line on this. I've said Jacoby Brissett is better than Tua. So we're talking about how good the Raiders defense has been this year. Brissett last week is the starter. It's the most yards the Dolphins have had all year, the most first downs, the most points. Jacoby Brissett's better than Tua. They're going to win this game. Carson Wentz, I like him. His last seven starts, he's 0-7. At some point, we've got to be honest about this. And he's completing 57% of his throws. That's his last seven starts with two coaching staffs. The Colts are also falling apart. Quentin Nelson's hurt. T.Y. Hilton's hurt. Kwity Paye is hurt. The Colts defense right now, you can run the ball on them. That is something that hasn't necessarily been true. The Colts are struggling everywhere. Health, accuracy, stopping the run. I think the Dolphins beat them at home 27-23.
Browns at Vikings.
The Vikings should be 3-0. They beat the Seahawks. They should have beat the Cardinals, and they went to overtime with the Bengals. They're an underdog at home getting 2.5 against Cleveland. This is not an indictment on Cleveland, but they're injured. Their left tackle playing on one leg. Greg Newsome, the rookie corner, is a good one. He's hurt, bad calf. Jarvis Landry's still not there, and their defense isn't right yet. Here's the other thing. When you look at the Vikings, I know everybody likes to roll their eyes at Kirk Cousins. When's the last bad game Kirk Cousins has had? He's had 17 consecutive games with a 90-plus passer rating. They're at home where he's always better. In the NFL this year, he's fourth in completion percentage, number one in touchdown interception ratio, fourth in passer rating. Folks, I'm not sure they should be the dog here. They're at home. They beat Seattle. They had Arizona beat. They had Cincinnati beat. I'm not sure the line is right. And until I'm sure Cleveland has their defense right against a legitimate offense, I think the Vikings will take the points. They win 27-26.
Giants at Saints.
One of my favorite bets of the weekend. Daniel Jones is no longer turning the ball over. One interception in his last nine games. And the Saints offense, how are they giving up 7 or 8 points? They can't move the ball. They've had only three big plays all year. They're almost last or next to last in yards, passing yards per play, big plays. Jameis Winston has the fewest passing yards of any quarterback in the league that started three games. Their opponents have outgained them. Folks, the Patriots and Mac Jones outgained them. I'm not saying they can't win, but I get a touchdown with a Giants team that under Joe Judge has been blown out one time. This is totally the right side. I'll go with the upset, Giants 27-26.
Ravens at Broncos.
Possible blowout. Broncos getting a point at home. I think they may blow out Baltimore. First of all, the Ravens are struggling on third down. Lamar, 5 turnovers this year. Not healthy. Not 100%. Little bit of a turnover bug. Denver's defense is on fire. Now, some of that's they've played junk, but they have solved their cornerback issues. Points game, yards per play, opposer passer rating, amazing. And again, Teddy Bridgewater is not just completing passes. He's making plays. Now, they're banged up at wide receiver on offense, but they're deep enough at skill positions. I think they put some big points up here. I don't love what I'm seeing with Baltimore right now. Struggling on third down. In fact, their third down conversion rate, 30%. That's the third lowest in the league. More opportunities for Bridgewater and that offense to get the ball and control the clock. Out of respect for Baltimore, I'll say it's close. Denver 27-24. It may start to unravel fast, though, if Baltimore can't get drives going. So here's my Blazing 5 this week. Love it. Absolutely love it. I'm going to take the favorite Cowboys and the favorite Dolphins. And then I'm taking dogs. I'm taking the Vikings, the Giants, and the Broncos. You know I love my dog picks. And I also want to throw this out. And we'll talk about this more later on Monday night. I love the Chargers on Monday night, -3.5. Now, the hook number is 3.5, right? So the wise guys probably like the Raiders. Some important numbers on Justin Herbert. Now, we all know he's talented, right? This is going to be a wild high-scoring game at SoFi. It's not going to be a home field for anybody. It's going to be a wild game. Be a lot of points. So the spread doesn't matter as much when you get into a 38-35 game or something. Since week 2 last year, Justin Herbert, a young quarterback, leads the league in completions, second in 300-yard games, third in 300-yard games, or in passing yards. And the Chargers are 6-1 in their last 7 games, and their left tackle, Rashawn Slater, no sacks in 150 snaps. There's going to be a lot of points in this game. I'm going to go with a home team. I think Justin Herbert, I said this about Dallas's defense. I think we know Justin Herbert's good. When you deep dive on the numbers, it's like, whoa. Like, we're talking Mahomes good. Like I said about Cowboys defense, the market hasn't caught up to it. It's way better than people think.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So an interesting game, Seattle. Is it San Francisco? Russell Wilson went to Twitter yesterday, and his tweet was, "I love adversity." I don't know how much he's going to love it if he's 1-3 in the NFC West. So if the Rams won this weekend, they're 4-0. If the Seahawks lost, they're underdogs, they would be 1-3. That's a long way. That's a long road to climb. And I was just, this is just a thought exercise. I am not sourcing anything here, but Tom Brady has a defensive coach forever, goes to Tampa with an offensive coach, wins a Super Bowl at 44. Russell's at the game, seething. Matt Stafford had many defensive coaches, goes to an offensive coach with Sean McVay, one of the early favorites to win MVP. He's watching it. And Russell's got a 70-year-old defensive coach, since Paul Allen died, has way too much power. And Russell's watching these peers get an offensive coach, more progressive offense, and these guys, his contemporaries, are crushing it. He's already been linked to 4 teams 6 months ago. Just saying, thought exercise. Pete got rid of Norm Chow. There was this feeling that Norm was getting a little credit. Russell Wilson gets a lot of credit. You get 5 first-round picks for Russell Wilson. I would never make the deal. If I was a team like the Bears, I'd make the deal. Or maybe not the Bears now with Justin Fields, but almost every NFL team, I would make the deal. Just a thought. We got him linked to 4 teams 6 months ago. I just think Brady with Arians and Matt Stafford gets the right offensive coach, and you start sitting around there looking, and you're like, man, what do we do well on this team besides what I'm connected with? Now my great defensive coach, our defense is awful. I mean, I'm just saying, the defense now in Seattle can't get teams off the field. I mean, Brady could be mad at Belichick but he always had a great defense. I don't know. I don't know. You go 1-3 in that division. I do not believe, I'll tell you this right now, I do not believe Russell Wilson ends his career with the Seahawks. I do not believe that. Not saying it's going to, you know, I'm saying it's going to be disrupted. I have no sourcing here, but they lose this weekend. You look up at the Rams, Stafford with a new team, offensive coach, setting records. Just saying.